The governor of California says that it's no longer safe to leave the house and that people should just remain indoors. But they don't call me the world's most dangerous anthropologist for nothing. Robert E. Howard was an American author who wrote pulp fiction in a diverse range of genres, including the sword and sorcery subgenre, and was probably best known for his character Conan the Barbarian, which was turned into a blockbuster on the big screen by an ex-California governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. That movie made a big impression on me when I was younger, and I never forgot the opening line, which said, quote, "Know, O Prince, that between the years when the oceans drank Atlantis and the gleaming cities, and the years of the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of, when shining kingdoms lay spread across the world like blue mantles beneath the stars." We've all heard about the legend of Atlantis, which alludes to an ancient antediluvian seafaring civilization whose empire and colonies spanned the globe. The antediluvian period is chronicled in the Bible as a time between the fall of humans, which happened during the Garden of Eden story, and the Great Flood in Genesis, which in an anthropological context can be interpreted as the catastrophic period between the end of the Pleistocene, or Ice Age, and the start of the Holocene, which is our current age. This was a geologically significant time, even if you consider the Bible as pure fiction, because the world experienced a rapid melting of glaciers and global sea levels rose about 400 feet in a relatively short period of time, exactly when Plato said Atlantis was submerged below the waves. So, when thinking about the Conan saga, it's easy to visualize what Howard meant when he spoke about the years when the oceans drank Atlantis. He meant the cataclysms that happened about 11,500 years ago. So, the fictional character Conan lived sometimes after that, and before the rise of the Sons of Arius. According to Conan Wiki, a fan website about Conan the Barbarian, quote, "After the age of King Conan and the Hyperborean Age, it is mentioned that the Sons of Arius rose and conquered the world and that they are considered the ancestors of the Aryan or Proto-Indo-European peoples." So it is clear that Robert E. Howard was talking about the Aryans, but this does not answer the question as to when the Sons of Arius arose and who is Arius in the first place. Ares equates to the Roman Mars, and in ancient Greek religion was god of war, or more accurately, the spirit of battle. From at least the time of Homer, Ares was one of the Olympian deities, and in Sparta, human sacrifices were made to him from among the prisoners of war. He was associated with Aphrodite from the earliest times, as in Sparta, Aphrodite was known as a war goddess, and sometimes considered Ares' legitimate wife. On vases, Ares is usually the typical armed warrior. Ares, while being a war god, was also regarded as a solar deity, astrotheologically speaking, and as a fire sign symbolized by the horns of a ram. In Indo-European or Aryan civilizations of antiquity, New Year's was not celebrated on January 1st, but on March 20, the spring or vernal equinox, and marks the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. It's the moment the sun crosses the celestial equator and equalizes night and day, and is still observed by communities in Iran, Western and Central Asia, the Caucasus, the Black Sea Basin, the Balkans, and South Asia, and remains a holy day for Zoroastrians, the Baha'i faith, and some Muslims. While Aries represents the spring month of the solar year, there's another cycle that ancient astronomers were aware of, which is known as Plato's Great Year, or the precession of the equinox, which is a roughly 26,000-year cycle that is also divided into 12 segments of roughly 2,000 years each, where each age is also ruled over by one of the gods. In the case of Aries, or the Aryan Age, this was from about 2160 BC until the year zero, or the date attributed to the birth of Christ. I say about because there are different schools of thought for the exact dates of the ages, where some have them all at the exact same length and others do not. But it's usually safe to say that it was from 2000 to 4000 years ago. By the way, anthropology always makes me hungry, and I stop for lunch at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. And if you're ever in Santa Monica on the pier, I highly suggest you try the char-broiled, Cajun-spiced mahi-mahi, bourbon sauce, grilled shrimp, and mashed potatoes. You can thank me later. Now, as I was saying, in the same way that in astrology, it is said that your birth month affects your personality, so too it was thought that certain energies were dominant during a given age, which matched the attributes of the god which ruled over that age. So for Aries or Mars, we see that the Indo-European people, who during this age were known as Aryans, or the sons of Aries, were historically documented to have migrated or invaded many parts of the world, and established themselves as the royalty, nobility, or gods. This was achieved because their particular race of people retained domesticated animals used in agriculture, which allowed them to establish or re-establish agricultural civilization and develop technologies such as metals and chariots, which in the ancient world was like having tanks. The ancient religion encouraged a warlike expansion, which not only fueled invasions into new territories, but the Aryans were also in constant war with each other. They were not one unified, organized people, but divided into tribes that established and claimed kingdoms of their own that would all too often war with each other. In previous videos, I discussed how pharaohs of Egypt, Minoans of Crete, Etruscans of Italy, the Phoenicians, and others, such as certain Native American tribes which share genetic affinities, all painted their skin with a red paint usually made from animal fat and red ochre. And I offered several theories for why this was done, such as red ochre is iron oxide, the active ingredient in many modern sunscreens. I also said that it had symbolic significance, as in an alchemical context, red represented fire. And now we can expand on this line of thought, knowing that Aries is the first fire sign in the zodiac. Like the color of the planet Mars, the celestial body associated with Aries, many statues of the Aryan god were painted red, even though the paint has faded over the millennia, and most modern statues are now white marble. Of course, the word Phoenician itself means red, and like other civilizations associated with the Aryan expansions during the Age of Aries, there were ancient swastika symbols found at archaeological sites, which were historically seen as a sign of nobility, and not merely good luck, as one often hears in the post-World War II world. For example, the swastika is a common symbol associated with Buddhism, and Gautama Buddha was said to be a follower of the Noble Eightfold Path, which are practices allegedly leading to liberation from the cycle of rebirth. But this is a post-World War II term, and in actuality, it was known as the Aryan Path. The word noble was used to replace the word Aryan, the same way that Indo-European was used to replace Aryan. Aryan has come to mean noble, as they were the nobility, and Siddhartha, Gautama, Buddha came from a noble royal family and was actually a prince of the Shakya clan, which inhabited present-day southern Nepal and northern India near the Himalaya. The Shakya were Scythians from Central Asia or Iran, and while this statement is not popular in modern nationalist India, the fact remains that Aryans introduced the horse to India, which did not exist in the fossil record prior to their invasions, as well as establishing an ethnic caste system, which has only recently been outlawed. In fact, Sanskrit itself, an Indo-European language, was introduced into India along with the swastika, which at one point was so common in America, it was used by Coca-Cola as a symbol. These same Scythian or Aryan lineages disseminated Buddhism to three quarters of Asia, which is why the Buddha depictions in places like Thailand all have blue eyes. Buddha himself was said to have blue or gray eyes in the ancient literature, as were nobility of the Middle East for many millennia spanning the entire Holocene, which is why the statues of Sumerian gods and nobility also are depicted with blue eyes. I've already covered the blonde and red-headed Egyptian pharaohs and their many blue-eyed statues, so I don't want to be redundant, but it's so central to accurately understanding the events of the past 12,000 years that to not mention it means that one has replaced reality with a political agenda. And I'm an anthropologist interested in truth, not a Marxist interested in hiding truth. So of course many people, including many of my own subscribers, are quick to point out that the vilification of the ancient Aryan symbol, most commonly referred to as the swastika in India, but also known as the philpot in England, the tetragrammaton in Greece, the wan in China, manji in Japan, and hakenkreuz in Germany, was somehow twisted to mean something else during World War II. This never made sense to me, because regardless of how you feel about that horrible war, and all war is horrible, the German use of the symbol was exactly the same as the Russian use of the symbol, the American use of the symbol, the Viking use of the symbol, the Hittite use of the symbol, the Iranian use of the symbol, and the Scythian use of the symbol. Whether Germany won or lost the war, their civilization was brought about by the same Indo-European or Aryan tribes that introduced the symbol to India, China, Greece, Israel, or if you prefer, Phoenicia. And no amount of media or academic suppression since 1945 changes the history and prehistory of the Holocene. In his 1896 book, The Swastika, the Earliest Known Symbol and Its Migrations, Thomas Wilson, former curator of the Department of Prehistoric Anthropology in the U.S. National Museum, wrote of the swastika, quote, an Aryan symbol used by the Aryan peoples before their dispersion through Asia and Europe. This might serve as an explanation how, as a sacred symbol, the swastika might have been carried to different peoples in which we now find it by splitting up the Aryan peoples and their migrations and establishment in various parts of Europe. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those who are interested. I very much appreciate it. Thank you. Please have a wonderful week, and I hope to see you again soon.